and live. Have you taken that look? Have you seen Jesus lifted up on the cross? Can you imagine how powerful it must have been for the people back in that day whenever they got bit by the serpents and they saw people dying all around them? I mean, their friends, their relatives were dropping dead all around them. And then here they were. They were sick because of these serpents that came. And Moses took that bronze serpent and he lifted it up on the stake. And the scripture says that everybody that looked to the serpent, that they got healed.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of two characters, two conducts, and two conclusions.
Must the Son of Man be lifted up? And so we see this passage here that Jesus quotes from the Old Testament. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And we see in Numbers 21 that God sent a plague among the Israelites because of they're complaining. And as we begin reading in verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So as they journeyed in the wilderness, the people began to get discouraged. In verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth or hateth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh on it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of bronze, he lived. And so Jesus actually quotes this passage that was back in Numbers. And Jesus says, like that serpent was lifted up on a pole, and the people that looked to the serpent, that they got healed. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, that when I'm lifted up, that when people look to me, they are healed. And I remember the song that we used to sing, look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live. Have you taken that look? Have you seen Jesus lifted up on the cross? Can you imagine how powerful it must have been for the people back in that day whenever they got bit by the serpents and they saw people dying all around them? I mean, their friends, their relatives were dropping dead all around them. And then here they were. They were sick because of these serpents that came. And Moses took that bronze serpent and he lifted it up on the stake. And the scripture says that everybody that looked to the serpent, that they got healed. What if that was your case? What if you were bit by a serpent and you knew that your healing came because you looked up to the serpent of bronze on the pole? Well, think about this. Everyone has been bitten by the serpent of sin. That you were bitten by the serpent of sin. And that when this serpent bit you, you know, you were not only, you were a sinner in two ways. You were a sinner by birth, and you were a sinner by choice. and you were destined to go to eternal damnation. And Jesus came. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And as you look to Jesus on the cross, and you realize that he died in your place, and you pray and ask him to come into your heart, that's what it means to look and live. That's what it means to look. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 3 in verse 14, that when you look, you see the healing that comes to your sin-sick soul. And we go on, and the first point that I want to make is that we look at two characters. We see in John 3:16, the first character, and this is the one who receives the love of God. The one who receives the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The second character is found in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Two characters. The one believes on Jesus, and the other one does not believe on Jesus Christ. The one has looked at God's love. He sees the love of God. And in my PowerPoint, I went through John 3:16, and I talked about what this verse actually means as far as the greatest thing that God could have done in sending his love. And so when we look at Calvary, when we look at the cross, what is that? That is an indication of God's love. That is the love of God shed out. So when people say, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? Well, God doesn't let anybody go to hell because he showed his love on Calvary. And there's two characters. There's the one that receives the love of God, and then there's the one that does not receive the love of God. See, I think so often we ask the wrong question and we look at the wrong thing. Why does God let somebody go to hell? No, that's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, why do some receive God's love and why do others reject God's love? The love of God, that God's love is wrapped up at Calvary, that if you ever question the love of God, if you ever go through your life and you look at things that are not going right and you begin to question, well, does God love me? Does God care about me? Is God concerned about me? I just have one thing. Just look to Calvary. Somebody asks, how much does God love me? How much does God love you? And Jesus stretched his arms and died on the cross. And he said, this is how much I love you. And so it's up to us whether we receive the love of God. See, that's what salvation is. Salvation, yeah, it's the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, but the salvation is more about God's love. And when we receive that love, we see that, I'm pointing up to the screen, right? when we receive the love of God, we see the next thing that we have is that there are two characters, and then we see there are two conducts. There are two ways that they conduct themselves. Look at verse 21. And this is the one who has received God's love. The one who has received God's love in verse 21. But he that doth trust cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This one comes to the light. That Jesus came into the world, and he came into the world to spread light, and that the one who loves Christ comes to the light. But notice there's the second one, and this one loves the darkness and rejects the light. Look at verse 19. But this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So do you see the contrast between the two characters, the conduct between the two characters? One loves the truth and comes to the light. The other one loves darkness, and they come into that darkness. I remember one time before I got saved, I was at a party. And we were at this party, and all of a sudden, I don't know if the electricity went out or if thank you. All right, so let's go back real quick. I just want to show y'all that I have some graphics, right? Go back to that one where it talked about if I be lifted up, you know, the serpent and Christ. There you go. All right. You know, so, you know, just like they looked at that serpent in the Old Testament, and they were healed. And we looked at Jesus on the cross, and we have healing. But let me go back to my story. Right? So I was at this party, and the lights went out. And they were out for about 5 minutes. And, you know, we just kind of sat around, and finally they came back on. And when the lights came back on, I had a glass with some drink in it. And it was covered, man. Well, no, I'm not going to say covered. There was about 4 or 5 roaches on the ground. And as soon as the light came back on, they left. They scattered. Right, and so what John is saying here is that, you know, there are individuals who love darkness, and because they love darkness, they are drawn to dark things. They are drawn to things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. But those of us who love the light, you know, we are drawn to the truth. You know, I often wonder, and you know, I know that you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. You know, I realize that. But I think a lot of times people stay away from the house of God because they are walking in darkness. And because they are walking in darkness, they don't want to come to the truth. They don't want to have the light shine on their deeds and on the things that they do. So they stay away. And that's what John is saying here, that people who have not accepted God's love, those who have not accepted the love of God, that they remain in darkness. And so as we talk to family and friends, and you know, we get frustrated because we don't feel that they are listening to us and that they are not hearing what we are saying, it may be that the God of this world has darkened their eyes, has blinded their eyes, so that they might not receive the truth. And so there's no need for us, I find, to get frustrated. The only thing that we can do is just pray for them and ask God to bring them to the light. And that, you know, when you think about it, God gives us light. God gives you and me light. And as we follow the light that he gives us, he gives us more light. But if we deny or we reject the light that God has given us, you know, guess what comes? Darkness comes our way. And when you even think about it in your own life, if you have spent time in God's word and you have read the word of God and God spoke to something about something clearly out of his word to you, that God told you something directly from his word and you didn't do it, God's not going to give you any more light. He's not going to breathe any more light, because he's going to say, why should I give you light? Because you're not doing anything about the light I've already shown you. And that's why our hearts need to be sensitive to the word of God and obedient to what he says. Notice also that it says here, not only are they drawn to the light, but look at verse 21 about the righteous. It says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God, that whenever you come to the light, you have righteous deeds, that you are doing good deeds, that God shows you what to do, and then you are obedient to do those things. But to the contrary, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That nobody wants to, when they're out there in deep sin, nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. And so the easiest thing to do is stay away from the light, to stay away from you people called Christians. Why? Because you bring light. And that's why sometimes I think that as children of God, when we are dealing with someone who is in sin, that the best thing we can do is, you know, point it out to them, and then after that, pray for them. Because sometimes as we continue to drive it and beat them up with that, you know, sometimes it causes their hearts to get harder. And so we need to be sensitive as to what the Spirit of God is telling us to do. I mean, because sometimes it may be that God wants us to give them that gentle nudge and that gentle reminder, but then there are other times when God says, that's enough. Let it go. You've prayed. You've dropped the seed in their heart. Now the only thing that's going to touch their heart, that's going to break the hardness of their heart, is the Holy Spirit in prayer. So that's why it's important, saints, that once we share with people who are in darkness, that we pray. And sometimes, you know, we get a little weary in our prayers, and we don't keep our prayers up for those around us that are walking in darkness. But, you know, we need to storm the gates of heaven. That whenever we have someone that's caught up in darkness, that we need to pray that God would open their eyes and let them see the truth. You know, I think about the story that I heard about people in Africa, and they would have their hut, but they would also have a place away from their hut where they would pray. And they would go in the morning, afternoon, evening, and they would walk to this place and pray. And some people, when they weren't praying, the grass would begin to grow in the path. And so there was an expression among this tribe. They said, brother, I see that the grass is growing on your path. And what that meant was, is that you haven't been going to the place of prayer. And is there grass growing on the path of those who are in darkness that we should be praying for? I know I'm dealing with some heavy stuff. Just some heavy stuff. And, you know, I find that sometimes it can be, you know, so overwhelming that you don't, I mean, you pray, but you just kind of look and say, sometimes, man, I just can't believe I'm dealing with this. You know what I mean? It's just that much beyond comprehension. And so God convicts me that, my brother, you need to be on your knees. That you need to be praying. You need to be crying out for people that are in darkness. And you know, we have in America, you know, we laugh at darkness. You know, we see people, bad things happening to people, and we make fun of it. We laugh at it. But and again, I was sharing with the people on Wednesday that, you know, I love to laugh. I mean, I really do. And I said that probably if I wasn't a pastor, that I would probably be a comedian. But, you know, one thing I realized is that sometimes the time of joking and smoking and laughing is over. And then it's a time to pray because people are in darkness. You know, two characters, you know, one that has received the love of God and the other one that has not received the love of God. Two conducts. One is in darkness and tries to walk away from the light. But the saddest thing is what I'm going to say now as I, you know, wrap things up, and that is the consequences. The consequences that those that receive God's love. In verse 16, there's two things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That the ones who receive God's love, they have everlasting life. Look at verse 18. Not only do they have everlasting life, but it says that they are not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But the consequence for the ones who reject God's love, it says in verse 16 that they shall perish, and it says in verse 18 that they are condemned. The reason that our hearts should be gripped because of those who are in darkness is because they will perish, and they are condemned. That one day that they will die and they will go to a place. And let me say this, verse 16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Everybody has everlasting life. You know, even the unsaved person has everlasting life. Everybody has it. So what's the difference? We're going to have life with God. We're going to have life in the presence of God. And when it says that a person has rejected God's love and that they perish and they are condemned, that means that they're going to have life apart from God. And I can't think of anything. Somebody said, you know, what is the worst thing about hell? And for years, you know, I said that the absence of God, you know, that the worst thing about hell is that God is not there. But then I was challenged and I said, well, I'll even take that a step further. The worst thing about hell is that the love of God is not there. That God's love is not there. And to think that the consequences for people who are walking in darkness, that one day that they are going to go to a place where not only God is not there, but his love is not there, has eternal life. John 3:16, present tense. That we don't have eternal life when we die. You have it right now. Right now, that the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now, you have eternal life. Somebody said, well, you know, I know I'm going to have eternal life when I die. No. You have it right now, in this present moment, eternal life. And so we see two characters, one that received God's love, one that rejected it. Two conducts, one that was drawn to the light, the other rejected the light. And two consequences, one that goes into the eternal presence of God, and one that is eternally separated from God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of He Must Increase, But I Must Decrease. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Two Characters, Two Conducts, Two Conclusions, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Characters, Two Conducts, Two Conclusions. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Characters, Two Conducts, Two Conclusions, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.